The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's the Crossover.
Crossover! Step back!
Presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen right here on 960theref.com.
The Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and Five Points. Glad you're with us. Chris Brain from the Home Team, David Johnston from the Morning Show. You stir that up, and here you go. Voila, you get the Crossover Podcast, which you can subscribe to on iTunes, listen to anytime on demand at 960theref.com, or make sure you download the all-new 960 The Ref app. Stay up to date. Information is coming at us these days fast and furious, and we'll keep you up to date with those push notifications. You can also listen to The Ref live wherever you are, whenever you want. Get all of our on-demand programming, like the Crossover Podcast, as well. So we appreciate you checking us out, and we're happy to report that we do have, thanks to the NFL and Tom Brady and the Falcons doing a lot of stuff this week, there is actual sports to discuss here on the Crossover.
The Atlanta Falcons potentially will be going up against the Killer Bees this year. Breeze, Brady, and Bridgewater.
Yeah.
So if you rank the quarterbacks in the NFC South 1-4, I'm going Breeze 1, Bridgewater 4, and I'm torn on 2 and 3. And the only reason I'm torn between 2 and 3 is because Matt Ryan in his prime with the team he's been with for a long time, Brady at 43, yes, he's the guy that's won everything, but he's 43. He's going to a new franchise, a new coach. So how would you rank them? I would go, I mean, this sounds homerish. I would go Breeze, Ryan, Brady, Bridgewater.
I think Brady showed signs of being washed last year in New England. Now, you know, I know he's got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, O.J. Howard, so he's
he does have a better supporting cast.
He's got weapons.
Yeah.
Although conveniently, because somebody did the math, talking about Brady's weapons and his supporting cast in New England, New England's defenses in his career there gave up an average of 18.7 points per game. So it's like, well, he had a pretty good supporting cast on that side
defense
of the ball.
Yeah, so that's a good point. We tend to forget about that.
Yeah, but so I know at least it's spicing up the NFC South. That's for sure. And it's just, I thought he'd go back to New England all along. But honestly, like, I never would have imagined he would have ended up like with Tampa Bay. It's like one of the worst franchises of all time.
So, in fact, technically, I think I read they are the worst franchise of all time.
Yeah.
Like, statistically. Yes, they've won a Super Bowl, but I think win-loss record percentage-wise, I think of the big sports, they're the worst franchise of any of them.
And I think
remember, they started out 0-26.
Yeah.
So that's a hard hole to climb out of.
I honestly, when you look at the NFC South, I think the Saints, Falcons, and Bucks are three of the worst all-time in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I mean,
now
I guess the Browns would be up there, potentially the Lions.
Yeah, the new Browns.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah, the new Browns. But yeah, it's, I mean, the Bucks are the worst.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing. So now you're going, and it's, you know, here's the thing with the Patriots, you know, they basically are a franchise pre-2000 and post-2000. Because their pre-2000 was nothing really. I mean, they did make it to the Super Bowl and got whipped by the Bears. And then, let's see, what?
The Packers
got them. And then when Brady came along is when they started winning Super Bowls. But before 2000, they were an average franchise.
Yeah, I mean, they were really a joke.
Yeah.
But they did squirm into a Super Bowl in the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah.
But it's a 20-year run now that they're on of winning they've won the AFC East every year, but like one. And that was a year Brady got hurt.
That's right. That's right. So they've been very good for a very long time, but they're kind of like, who would you it's funny because the Bulls outside of Michael Jordan, there's nothing.
Yeah.
You know, there's trying to think of other franchises that basically just hinge around one guy. Obviously Brady's time that he did it was longer than Jordan's, but still, I mean, trying to think of, it's probably a little bit tougher to say that in baseball, but the Bulls, that's who comes to mind for me.
Yeah, I was thinking the 49ers, you know, they carried on into the early 90s with Steve Young after Montana left. Yeah. But, you know, for the most part, they were terrible. Got Montana. And then, you know, Bill Walsh, I think.
Well, Walsh, Montana is kind of like Belichick, Brady.
Yeah. They just didn't stay together for as long as what you've had with New England.
Steve Young came along after that.
Yeah. So Young and Seifert kept them treading water for a little bit.
That's right.
You know, but, you know, and I guess they've been to two Super Bowls since now, though. That one with Kaepernick and Harbaugh, and then this
last one. Yeah.
But
so, I don't know.
The Bulls are a good call there because they had that run in the 90s, but before that, they were there's nothing to them. And then since then, there's pretty much been nothing to them.
If I have a chance to do a deep dive into this, when the Bulls got Michael Jordan his rookie year before that, who would have said it was the Bulls' all-time best player? So I'd have to get, what, 60s, 70s, and 80s, who would have been considered the Bulls' best player? Like, was it Norm Van Leer? Or, I don't even know.
you know who Charles Oakley played for him before
Charles
Jordan
Oakley
got there, right?
Before that, yeah, I mean, I don't know. But, and who was the Patriots' all-time best player before Brady? If you want to go... I mean,
you know,
Bledsoe was pretty good for them, I guess.
Yeah. I always liked that. Being a grown up a Dolphins fan and kind of being familiar with them, they had a linebacker named Andre Tippett who was awesome, who's a Hall of Famer now.
He was very good.
Or I guess, you know what? It was probably John Hanna.
Totally.
So
totally. Yeah, John
I guess
Hanna.
You'd have to say him.
Yeah. We forget about linemen, but they count too. And I love linemen. Of course, there was Andy Johnson. I mean, he was a great Bulldog. He was a good Patriot. But, you know, they didn't have a whole lot before all of that. But John Hanna is definitely the answer.
No, I mean, I can just speak for me growing up a Dolphins fan. I hated the Jets because there was a period of time when I was young that, you know, the Dolphins lost like 8 straight games to the Jets. And so the Jets are really the first team that I – and, you know, really when I was growing up, a kid, I mean, the Jets were like really the only team I just despised and hated. And it probably had a lot to do with them winning like 8 in a row over the Dolphins. But like New England, I never really, even though they were in the same division as Miami, they never really bothered me at all. And then in the 90s, obviously, it was the Bills that rose to power with Jim Kelly and Marv Levy and all those guys.
Which still, we're not going to see that again, right? One team lose 4 straight Super Bowls.
I mean, that's the kind of gets lost in that with Buffalo because they didn't win any of them, but it's ridiculously impressive that they just went to 4 in a row.
I think it's one of the great sports feats of all time.
And that's that in that first one, the loss to the Giants, that's the one that Butch Jones claims that he caught that Scott Norwood missed field goal. He was like the little ball kid down
there.
He
was there. So. That's what they say.
Yeah,
or that's
his claim.
By the way, just checking on the Bulls. Scottie Pippen is their second leading scorer. And then somebody named Bob Love.
Is third?
Is third.
Wow.
And he played from 67 to 77. I don't even know that name.
So that guy played a decade as the Bulls' number 3 all-time scorer. Yeah.
Yep. Bob Love.
Yeah, that's good.
I know. That is that's crazy. And then 4 is Lou Alding. Is the Bulls' 4th all-time leading scorer.
Wow. So that's kind of that post. They had like a couple good years post Jordan when Derrick Rose was there and won an MVP.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were in the Eastern Conference and like, well, LeBron's winning the East
exactly.
and going to the finals. And he did.
I'll let the Bulls go in a second. But we did forget a couple of obvious ones. If you from that era, Jerry Sloan and Artis Gilmore. I forgot about Artis Gilmore.
Yeah. Those are good calls.
Yeah. So I'll let it go.
He got hurt, but like Ron Harper was there
Ron
before
Harper
he got
good.
Injured.
Yeah.
He was really good.
He's the kind of guy that like, if he had played for – like, Rod Cole was Georgia's SEC representative legend this year.
Yeah.
And he was on with us. And I always thought about Rod Cole. You know, he was on that 1990 team that won the SEC championship. He could have scored a lot more points if he had played with different players. He didn't have to score as much because he had Laterrell Green and Alec Kessler. And Ron Harper was in that same boat. If he played in different systems and hadn't gotten hurt, or if he played with different teams, he could have scored a lot more points.
Yeah.
He was really good.
Yeah, but post-injury, he just wasn't really the same kind of guy. So that sounded like – so, yeah, Brady going to Tampa from New England where he carved out a 20-year career that's got him considered the best quarterback of all time, and the Patriots just up there amongst the greatest franchises ever. Now he's going to one of the worst, and it's definitely spicing up the NFC South. So Atlanta, Now, Vic Beasley's gone, and they bring in Dante Fowler. They'll need someone to sack Tom Brady now at least twice, two games every year. So they hope Fowler's going to be the guy to do it. He is coming off the best season of his career, 11.5 sacks last year with the Rams.
Do you ever get burned in fantasy football when you get a guy who's coming off the best season of his career and he doesn't have another great season like that?
Usually with running backs.
Yes.
Named David Johnson.
Yes, yes. You and I both had David Johnson last year.
Yes.
It was a nightmare.
Yeah.
So
I can't believe the Texans made that trade.
I can't either.
It's, yeah.
But, I mean, did they watch last season? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that's just, it's almost like you got to imagine, like, when they called and, you know, Bill O'Brien is like, what would it take for you to give us your number one running back? And like, oh, you mean Kenyon Drake? No. David Johnson.
I know. I want to know how that conversation
yeah,
went.
Yeah, right? I mean, so, it's unbelievable. But, yeah, back to the Falcons. They get you know, Dante Fowler, and then with Austin Hooper signing with Cleveland, they make a trade with Baltimore to bring in Hayden Hurst, who we remember because he was a force at South Carolina. But you know,
he caught like 16 passes in two different games against the Dogs. He played against Georgia in that Sunday game in 2016.
Yeah,
in Kirby's first year, and I guess he played for them the year after that.
Yeah, he was 2 years there, and he played pro baseball, minor league baseball. So
he is
older. He's only this is only be his third year in the league,
right?
And he's already 26 years old.
Yeah,
but you know, I think he's. I mean, Hooper had a huge year last year. He caught 75 passes and missed three games and still did that. But
my memories of him that he was very good, but there were times when Matt Ryan would get frustrated with him. And I don't know, maybe not as much last year. Maybe he finally came into his own. But I just remember times during games over the last couple of years where I don't know if he ran the wrong path. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. And you could see Ryan get a little frustrated with him.
Yeah, I just – like it hit me when Cleveland's going to make him the highest paid tight end in the NFL, and I'm like, really? Because I mean, it's like his career, like even last season when I went back and looked at his numbers, like it's 75 catches and 6 touchdowns. Like, well, I mean, was he doing a lot of that in the second halves when Atlanta was getting buried at halftime? Because it seemed like a lot of Atlanta's stats last year did kind of get compiled that way. It's like, well, it's 24-0 Seahawks at the half, and then they come out in the second half and.
Get Sammy Sosa type numbers.
Yeah, I mean, Seattle was just happy to like, well, as long as the clock's running, eat up all the yards you can. And maybe, I don't know, maybe did Hooper get a lot of numbers in those situations like that?
The Falcons did have to throw quite a bit because they were down quite a bit. And, you know, the funny thing, too, is I don't have it in front of me, but it was like the top five or six or five of the top six or six of the top seven quarterbacks in the NFL last year for, like, yardage, passing yardage weren't. Their team wasn't in the playoff. So did some of these guys benefit from being on teams that weren't as good and catching more passes?
Yeah. Well, like, I bet Jameis was probably one of them.
Yeah.
Well, and they weren't in the playoffs because he threw 30 picks.
And that's the thing that scares me a little bit about the Bucs is, all right, they had basically a Trojan horse in Winston. He was, you could say he sabotaged the Bucs. He threw 30 picks and what, 6 pick sixes or something crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like almost a pick six every other game. But think if he only threw 20 picks instead of 30, and 20 still a lot. They won 7 games despite the fact that he threw 30 picks. If he throws 20 picks, maybe they win 9 games instead of 7. Maybe they're in the playoffs. So are they close? Do they think, hey, our window's more open than everyone wants to give us credit for here? If we have the right quarterback that's not constantly shooting us in the foot, we've got a chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah, because Brady's not going to throw 30 interceptions.
Right.
And you know, Bruce Arians is a good coach. Brady's going to be way in an upgrade over Winston, even if he is, you know, not
maybe
in the prime of his career.
He's not as dynamic as Winston. I guess, I'm sure the highs with Winston are pretty high, but the lows are really low with him. Just from the numbers, maybe Brady's a little bit more even and the lows aren't as bad, and then maybe Tampa could win 9 or 10 games.
Well, one thing that keeps getting pointed out is like, well, Bruce Arians' offense likes to take shots downfield, and Brady doesn't appear to have the arm to still be able to do that because so much of the Patriots' offense was shorter stuff. And I'm like, well, okay, but now we're just assuming that Arians has signed Brady with no thought of like changing
right.
that. No,
what?
No.
No, huh?
Yeah.
We got to throw downfield every
right.
play.
Yeah.
Bruce Arians is a good coach. He can adjust to the quarterback he has.
I think he'll figure it out with those weapons. And their defense was better last season, too. So, that's like they did go 7-9. It's not like they were just dreadful
right.
last year. So,
and here's the thing, too, because you brought this up. It's not just like that Falcons game. It's not just the 16th pick and the 14th pick being the difference in that one game, but it's also the schedule you get the next year.
Yeah.
And that makes a difference too, because what the Falcons, because they won that game, they get the Cowboys
and Seahawks. Instead of the Rams and
Giants.
Yeah. So that's a difference of is Jared Goff and Daniel Jones versus now Dak Prescott and Russell Wilson.
Yeah. And what was the difference in the – what was the other division? I guess that's the only – it would just been that – because the AFC teams that you would play –
you play the one division anyway.
Right, right. But then don't you have to – let's see. The NFL schedule, you play the six teams from your division, then there's two divisions that are assigned to you.
Yeah.
So that's another eight games. Is that right?
And
so
then,
that's 14. And then, okay. And then the other two divisions in your conference.
Yeah. You play the team that finished in the same spot.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. So it's so the Bucks get Daniel Jones and.
Okay.
Yeah.
So every year there's three divisions from the other side that you don't see any of their teams, right?
Yeah. And from the other conference. This year, I guess it's the AFC.
They're playing the Raiders and
the West.
Broncos. Yeah. They're playing the West.
Yeah.
And they're going to Vegas, aren't they? I think the Falcons.
Yes, I think so. But there's also the Falcons have one of those I think they've said it's an international game. Or have they announced officially it's Mexico? But they're either going to London or Mexico.
Okay.
So, which is also one of Atlanta's home games. So Atlanta's only got seven games at home this season. Not that based on the atmosphere in the stadium last year.
Or is it next where they're playing 17 games? Next year?
Next year.
All right, 21.
This year they're adding the playoff
spot. That's right.
Next year they're adding
the
extra game.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then the extra game next year.
So,
if there is a this year.
Yeah.
I don't want to be Mr. Doom and Gloom, but at this point I don't even know anymore.
I guess we're all hunkering down right now in the hopes that we can flatten the curve
exactly
and get everything back to normal as quickly as possible. But you know, some things you look at and read maybe have you optimistic about it, and then there's other things that are like, well, you know, it could be like 12 to 18 months. Like, well, if that's the case, then there's not going to be a football season.
But we don't know right now, and you know, it's just. Speculating doesn't do anybody any good.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to pretend that there will be one.
Yeah, I want to be more optimistic and pretend. And even, you know what, even if I think there's not going to be one, I would just rather just outwardly pretend that there is hope.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to keep discussing season win totals and all these make-believe lines that get posted a little bit early and things like that. And just, I like the NFL right now, which is just, we're going on about our business like there's nothing else happening. So, you know, hopefully in some way, shape, or form, they'll have a draft next month because that'll, you know, whether they just do it like old school.
Yeah.
Everyone can phone in their pick, but at least there's a draft we could talk about. No, but
they're still touting the Vegas draft, even though Vegas is closed right now, basically.
I know. Yeah.
The casinos are closed.
Yeah.
I don't know if the hotels are how that's working.
Are the light? I mean, is the strip still lit up at night?
I don't know why it would be.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Because nothing's open.
No.
What about the old downtown casinos like the Nugget? Are they staying open?
Yeah. The Nugget has not been bothered by any of this.
Yeah.
The Nugget doesn't know anything about any of this stuff that's going on. You ever been to the Four Queens?
Yeah. They're still running.
They're still no. I guess everything's closed.
Yeah. Well, first the buffet shut down, and then they shut the whole strip down.
Unbelievable.
Well, I mean, hey, I guess then the NFL could say, well, no one will be here, but we'll still do our draft here. Turn the fountains of the Bellagio on and call Joe Burrow up.
Well, you know, college baseball, the June draft, you know, this was the first year they were doing it in Omaha to coincide with the College World Series, and I don't guess they're going to do that now.
No, I think that I was reading that Major League Baseball said they might even postponing or just completely change what they're doing.
Yeah.
So.
But they aren't going to Omaha now.
No. Well, hey, neither is college baseball.
Exactly.
All right, the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and Five Points. We should point out, too, I mean, if there's ever been a business that has been built for, you know, takeout and delivery, obviously it's the pizza business. So Fully Loaded Pizza, if you're, you know, if you go to the store and you find that the shelves are pretty empty, then dial up Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen. You can go take out. They'll bring your pizza to your vehicle or deliver as well, keeping a safe distance, of course. So
6 feet.
Yes. 6 feet, absolutely. We'll take a quick little timeout here. We'll come back with part two, the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen here on 960theref.com and the 960 The Ref app.
True Italian food has returned to Five Points and brought some friends along because Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen is now open in Five Points, Athens. At the new Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen, you'll find all your Italian favorites, from pizza to calzones and baked ziti, along with sandwiches, salads, wings, and more, plus a full bar for beer, wine, and cocktails. It's time to eat at the now open Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen at Five Points in Athens and also in the Manders Crossing Shopping Center off Mars Hill Road in Watkinsville.
All right, part two, the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and in Five Points. We do now know that, you know, pretty much the rest of spring has been called off in college athletics across the board, and that includes practices, although the SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey did suggest a couple days ago that, you know, once things do get cranked up again, if they do get cranked up again, that there'd be at least some consideration given to maybe accommodating some teams with some extra practices to miss and make up for the 15 miss that most schools didn't get. I was looking at the spring football schedule. Like, you know, Vanderbilt started in like February. So
they played their spring game?
No, they hadn't played their spring game, but they got some practices in.
Okay.
And like
South Carolina.
They started early. Tennessee had started early. I think Missouri had started early. So there were, you know, a handful of schools across the conference that did at least get some work in before things were completely shut down. So now, will they get extra practices or like just the schools that hadn't started yet?
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, this was the year – like Georgia probably really needed spring practice, maybe even say compared to last year, where you got the new quarterback, the new offensive coordinator, rebuilding the offensive line, new offensive line coach. You know, everything that spring would have been perfect for, Georgia doesn't have. So for some teams, spring practice is different than it is for others, and I think Georgia would have been in that boat this year. But, I mean, I know that's a small picture compared to things that are going on in our world right now, but you know, we're talking about football, and that's what you know, the SEC is trying to deal with and trying to figure out. It's hard to imagine right now that unless they say, oh, you can start your fall practice, if that's the case, a couple of weeks early or something, and put some restrictions on teams as to how much they can practice. But I just don't know at this point that you can even think about that. Think about having practice.
No, yeah, but trying to like stay optimistic and just, all right, let's, you know, this will come to an end and we can be told we can kind of get back to normal and start preparing for a football season. But there's even, I mean, we don't know, these kids now are seemingly they're spread out all over the place. It's not like anyone can be on campus. So where are they at right now? Some might just be at home. Some might still be here in Athens, but even just from a strength and conditioning standpoint. And it's not like these guys they've all got personal trainers that they can work out with on the side to stay in shape and get fit. So, you know, you've got to make sure these guys are actually in shape to be able to go through the rigors of a football season once it begins. So, I mean, you'd hope that there would be some thought to allowing for some extra workout and practice moving forward if we get to that point. Cause, you know, 15 practices and you've had a chance to what it would three 11 on 11 scrimmages you could have had in that time frame too. I do think if the season gets played, when you start like, you know, thinking who might have good seasons and looking at that, I think some of these teams that have their assistant coaches and their coaching staffs is back intact, and a lot of returning experience might have advantages over others. And I just, you think of the East, and Tennessee and Florida jump out there as two schools that could, they could benefit from this in the long run.
Well, how many schools in the SEC are breaking in a quarterback? All right, so we'll start with Georgia, a new quarterback.
Yeah.
South Carolina. Well, let's see. Bitly left.
Yeah, so the Helinski is returning starter.
Yeah, that's right. I don't count them after all. So Georgia, Missouri, let's see.
I guess
Arkansas.
Kentucky.
Kentucky.
LSU.
Who was their quarterback
LSU.
Last year?
You're talking about LSU. Let's say their defensive coordinator leaves. Yeah. Joe Brady leaves. Yeah. Joe Burrow leaves.
Let's see. Mississippi State's got Costello.
Yeah, they and then I guess
Ole Miss is.
Well,
got,
no, because they got Plumlee, but they've
got.
That's
right. That's right.
And you know what? They were another school that actually they started early March, so they might have gotten a few practices in before things got called. At least one or two.
Kellen Mond's back for A&M.
Yeah. I mean, Bama's got Mac Jones, but he ended up playing last year. So
yeah, yeah. I mean, that's will he be the quarterback this year? I don't know, but he is coming back.
So hey, it's a
about
big
half the teams in the conference.
Probably like not having a spring practice definitely helps Mac Jones hold on to that job. So
yeah. So it is interesting that maybe you could I don't want to say rule out the teams that we just mentioned from winning their division, but I think they're at a little bit more of a – they have a little bit bigger hill to climb.
Yeah, and it does ramp up the heat now on Jimbo because he's got it made.
Oh, yeah.
And also, I think they started on, like, March 1st, so they would have gotten a handful of practices in, too. Plus, he's got his coaching staff back. He's got an experienced quarterback. So, this is the year where A&M's thinking –
are you calling for A&M to win the West?
I'm not going to go that far right. just yet. But I tell you what, if Texas A&M fans are probably going to be calling for that now.
Well, they should be.
They're not paying that guy $10 million for nothing.
Yeah, they should be. And by the way, when you mentioned when we were talking about Brady in the first segment and things that are overlooked, his defense. Well, that is the thing for Georgia now. They do have about everybody coming back on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
So there is that to be said for the Dogs, even if they do have to make over the offense.
Yeah, but and that's the thing now that you really start thinking about is having to replace Andrew Thomas, Jake Fromm. There is the kicker situation too, but it's just sort of a mystery right now. So what kind of communication can Todd Monken and Jamie Newman even have with each other?
Supposedly they can't.
Yeah.
I don't know
they
if
can't
they can
talk
communicate,
shop.
But they can't. Yes, you're right. He can't coach him.
Yeah, they can talk to each other on a human level.
Right,
hey,
right,
how are you doing?
Right.
But so it's like, so does like Newman even have a playbook?
Yeah, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, I hope he does. But
yeah,
would they not have been allowed to issue those before spring practice?
I'd have no idea.
Yeah,
but
just
spring,
works.
You're probably trying to work through with a new offense, tempo, and things like that. And,
yeah,
George is missing out on a lot of that stuff. But yeah, the defense will definitely help us rest a little easier, knowing that that unit is pretty much back and should be a force either way. And also the idea of, all right, well, whatever happens with the offense this year, it's not like Georgia's offense was explosive a year ago either.
Right,
so
right, and still won the division.
Yeah,
still won the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just crazy that we're having these kind of conversations.
Yeah. Well, looking at the sports calendar, we've got the draft will come up next month. At some point, usually the NFL puts out its schedule, so that'll be when that happens. We'll have that to talk about, too.
Yeah.
We already know who everyone plays. We just don't know the order and primetime games and things like that. I'm going to guess Tampa's going to have a lot of 425 kickoffs next year.
I would think there's a good chance of that, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they've actually, there's some, like they play Green Bay next season. They play Kansas City. So you got Mahomes and Rodgers and Brady, and I'm going to guess those are going to be like on Sunday nights or Sunday afternoons.
Suddenly the Bucks just got a lot more popular.
Yeah.
As far as TV is concerned.
Yeah, and I know like the Falcons, they've been teasing a new uniform too. So I think everyone's fingers are crossed that they're going to return to the creamsicle, the old days of the creamsicle look.
Well, Brady's face fits quite perfectly there in the pirate.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like him a little bit.
That's like, it's just Brady's going to go and play in a stadium that has a big pirate ship in it.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. I'm still having a hard time wrapping my head around that.
I know. It's bizarre. But then again, I mean, think about like, all right, so when Montana went to the Chiefs, that was kind of similar to this. I know the Chiefs right now are on top, but
yeah, I mean, in the 80s,
they were a pedestrian franchise in the 80s.
And really, I mean, after they won the Super Bowl, which was, what, number four?
Three or four, I guess. Let's see.
Yeah, it was four because
the Jets
won
three. Yeah, so.
So after the four.
It's been 50 years since they won the Super Bowl.
And the rest of the 70s, they weren't.
Yeah. So Johnny Unitas went to the Chargers.
Yeah.
Namath
went to the Rams.
I never got used to Favre being in a Packers jersey after his 1 year in Atlanta with the Falcons. I just never could wrap my head around him being a Green Bay Packer. I was so used to him being a Falcon.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Well, you know what was what I had forgotten about Favre, because you remember like he went to the Vikings and they almost got to the Super Bowl, but like remember he also played for the Jets.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
So like Favre with the Jets is probably,
because that's where the female got mad at him.
Yeah, yeah.
Jen Sturger, yes.
Got mad at him because he allegedly
was getting creepy in the text.
He was doing some sexting.
Yes, yes. So, that wasn't good.
Yeah.
What about, let's see here. Well, you know, Fran Tarkenton, he was a New York Giant before he was a Minnesota Viking.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like he finished his career. I mean, it wasn't like he played like 15 years for the Giants and two for the Vikings. I mean, he split his career pretty much, I guess, in half.
Yeah,
those teams.
And like Montana went to the Chiefs and they were good. They had a couple of good years.
Yeah, they made the playoffs.
So it wasn't like he was just completely finished.
Did they make the AFC Championship game?
Yeah, they lost one of those years to Buffalo.
Yeah.
I think that was
That
was who Buffalo beat their fourth time.
Okay.
Going.
Okay. So wow, that did stretch into the 90s. So yeah, I mean honestly, the history of quarterbacks in the NFL, the great ones finished up somewhere other than the team you think of.
Yeah. It's just real. Like, so Tom Brady now is the Falcons' division rival.
Part of the Killer Bees.
Yeah.
Breeze, Brady, and Bridgewater.
And he's responsible for the worst loss in not only Falcons history, but the worst loss in sports history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sports history.
Yeah.
Football history?
Nope. No.
Sports history. Yes.
All right, Dave, stay safe out there.
Thanks, you too, Chris.
And we'll come back next week, and hopefully we'll have more sports. We can talk about the Crossover Podcast. Again, subscribe to us on iTunes. You can listen whenever you want on demand at the website 960theref.com. But listening to The Ref has never been easier than it is now with the new 960 The Ref app. So if you're on an iPhone, go download the app in the App Store. If you're on an Android, you can find it in Google Play. And thanks to our sponsor, Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and in Five Points. They are open. And again, like I said, if there's ever been a food service that has been made for takeout and delivery, that's pretty much pizza.
And Fully Loaded is damn good.
Yes,
too.
It is.
Yes.
So, you know, if you're hungry or if you go to the store and you find that the shelves are like completely empty, well, hey, dial up Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen and they will have a pie waiting on you. All right, we'll be back next week with another edition of the Crossover Podcast. For Dave, I'm Chris. The Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen here on 960theref.com and the 960 The Ref app.
You've been listening to The Crossover, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen on 960theref.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.